Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the CBS Evening News ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you can have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Breaking news tonight, Americans escape. Nearly 200 U.S. now in isolation, possibly exposed to that deadly virus. Tonight, major airlines now canceling flights to China as the outbreak spreads. Tough questions. Senators get their say in the president's impeachment trial as the fight over witnesses comes down to a few votes. Plus the new warning to John Bolton from the White House. Dangerous inferno. A high rise in L.A. goes up in flames as people desperately try to escape. Tonight, the dramatic rescues as the fire spread. Deadly crash. Stunning new details. Kobe Bryant's helicopter just minutes from landing when it crashed. Could a key piece of equipment have saved the NBA star and eight others? Plus, the new tribute from Bryant's wife as a teammate breaks down.
I haven't felt the pain that sharp in a while.
Secret border tunnel. The U.S. shuts down this high-tech passageway used to smuggle drugs in from Mexico. Social Security scam alert. Tens of millions of dollars stolen by thieves posing as FBI agents. The urgent alert you need to know to keep your money safe. Surrounded by strangers. The surprising act of kindness for a veteran who died alone. And second chances. He could have sent these teens to jail. Instead, he put them to work.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us. We're going to begin with breaking news. Nearly 200 Americans now out of the danger zone in China. Tonight, they are in isolation at a military base outside of Los Angeles, being tested for that deadly virus. But there are reportedly hundreds of Americans still stranded near ground zero of the outbreak. Just as CBS News has learned, airlines from around the world are either suspending or drastically cutting their flights to China, including major U.S. carriers, American, Delta, and United. Well, tonight, the Trump administration is weighing a temporary ban on all flights there. The death toll worldwide has 170, with more than 7,000 people infected. Carter Evans leads off our coverage tonight.
Pictures taken during the 14-hour flight show medical personnel and crew in protective gear and passengers wearing masks. The 195 on board were screened multiple times. Ian Thompson is one of the evacuees.
They'd come around probably every 2 or 3 hours.
They were met by medical teams on the tarmac and escorted to barracks for voluntary observation. Dr. Chris Braden is part of the CDC ground team.
We've talked to passengers who said they've given nasal swabs, were given blood tests. How long will it take to get those tests back to determine if they do in fact have the virus?
We think we can do that in the 72 hours.
But if some choose to leave before that, the CDC says it can stop them.
If we think that a person is a danger to the community, we can institute an individual quarantine for that person. And we will.
There are still reportedly hundreds of Americans in the lockdown city of Wuhan. NinGXU arrived 10 flight home, canceled twice.
I really don't know how I'm going to get back. Worst case, I'll just wait for the travel ban to end.
Health officials in the U.S. say confirmed cases stand at 5, but they're still looking at 92 others. Today, the World Health Organization said 2% of the people who contracted the virus in China have died. The organization issued a warning for the rest of the world.
The whole world needs to be on alert now.
Now, if any passengers that were on the flight start to show any serious symptoms, they'll be brought here to Riverside University Medical Center. But even if their tests are clear and they're allowed to leave, they'll still need to be monitored for 2 weeks at home. Nora?
All right, Carter, thank you. Tonight, Republicans are increasingly confident that they will be able to block witnesses in the impeachment trial, raising the likelihood that President Trump is acquitted by the end of the week. Now, this comes after an extraordinary day in the U.S. Senate when senators got their chance to ask questions. Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill tonight with some of the surprising answers.
After sitting silently for more than a week, the jurors had a lot on their mind.
Senator Grassley asked, Senator Feinstein asked, senators ask.
Chief Justice John Roberts read their questions aloud from special handwritten cards.
If President Trump had more than one motive for his
The first question conduct. Was about how they should vote if the president had both valid and invalid reasons for withholding aid to Ukraine.
It can't possibly be an offense.
White House counsel Patrick Philbin.
It would be absurd to have the Senate trying to consider, well, was it 48% legitimate interest and 52% personal interest, or was it the other way?
Impeachment manager Adam Schiff disagreed.
That if any part of the president's motivation was a corrupt motive, that is enough to convict.
Defense lawyer Alan Dershowitz had this novel take.
And if a president does something which he believes will help him get elected in the public interest, that cannot be the kind of quid pro quo that results in impeachment.
The question of the defendant's intent and state of mind is always an issue.
Indicted businessman Lev Parnas arrived on the Hill to take it all in. Parnas claims he helped pressure Ukraine to investigate the Bidens on the president's behalf.
We have text messages, we have emails to validate everything I say.
And Nancy joins us from the Hill. So Democrats tried to make the case that in order to determine motive, you need to hear from witnesses. What's the likelihood of that?
Well, it looks less likely tonight, Nora, because a couple of key Republicans have announced that they are probably going to vote no on witnesses. But it is still going to be razor tight. There's a strong chance this could be a 50-50 vote, which would force the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts to make the tie-breaking vote. He'll have to make that decision, Nora.
Well, that would be incredible. All right, Nancy, thank you. President Trump had John Bolton on his mind today at the White House. He took to Twitter to attack the man that he once chose to be his national security advisor. And the administration is moving to block Bolton's book from being published. Weijia Zhang reports tonight from the White House.
Today we're finally ending the NAFTA nightmare.
Even as President Trump signed a new North American trade deal today, he injected impeachment into his remarks while thanking Republican senators.
Maybe I'm being just nice to him because I want their vote.
The White House is lobbying senators to vote against having witnesses such as John Bolton at the trial. On Twitter, the president said his former national security advisor begged him for a job. And if I listened to him, we would be in World War VI by now. He also bashed Bolton's upcoming book as nasty and untrue. CBS News obtained this letter from Mr. Trump's National Security Council to Bolton's lawyer, saying the manuscript contains top secret level classified information that may not be published or otherwise disclosed. But while it was only made public today, the letter is dated January 23rd, the day after President Trump said this about Bolton's potential testimony.
The problem with John is that it's a national security problem.
And just 3 days after the White House halted the manuscript, the New York Times reported it says the president told Bolton military aid to Ukraine depended on investigating the Bidens. Tonight, Bolton's lawyer tells CBS News that he responded to that letter the very next day to say they don't believe anything in the book could reasonably be considered classified, and they have to resolve issues right away since Bolton could be called to testify about that very material. Nora?
All right, Weijia, thank you. Now to some dramatic rooftop rescues in Los Angeles. When fire blew through windows on the lower floors of a high-rise, residents faced a dangerous escape. 11 people were hurt. One is in grave condition. Jonathan Vigliotti on how the firefighters got everyone out.
The flames spread quickly.
We have fire showing, blowing out of the fourth floor window.
This man desperately holding on by his fingertips in a daring attempt to escape. Firefighters say they had to convince several people not to jump. First responders directed dozens of others up 20 flights to the roof, where they were airlifted to safety.
I could have died. There was so much smoke.
I smelled some smoke, and then I heard like 1,000 fire trucks, and I was like, something's not right.
More than 300 firefighters battled crowds and flames to rescue everyone inside. The fire began on the sixth floor of this 25-story high-rise, just as many were starting their day.
The Herculean effort of the members of the Los Angeles Fire Department was incredible.
The building did not have a sprinkler system, even after a similar fire here in 2013. It's still unclear what caused today's blaze, but investigators are calling it suspicious.
And we're here outside Central Command, where detectives will work through the night. As for those injured, we're told the youngest, just 3 months old. Nora?
All right, Jonathan, thank you. Tonight, we're following new developments in the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant. His widow, Vanessa, changed her Insta picture to one that shows Kobe and their 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, who was also killed in the crash. Chris Van Cleve on what we're learning about the final moments before the crash.
Kobe Bryant's helicopter was only about 3 minutes from reaching the Camarillo Airport. New video from a doorbell camera captured the sounds of the chopper falling from the sky. With nine aboard for its final flight in worsening weather, the helicopter was flying without black boxes or a terrain awareness warning system known as TAWS.
Terrain ahead, pull up.
That could have alerted the pilot to the jagged landscape. But the FAA only requires those technologies for helicopter air ambulances.
TAWS could have helped to provide information to the pilot. It's something we've recommended several times over a number of years.
Today, the Lakers practice for the first time since Sunday's crash as tributes continue to flood in. From a heartbroken Los Angeles, where murals popped up overnight, to Philly before the 76ers game, where a bell tolled for each of the nine victims.
I didn't want to believe it.
And on the court they once shared, friend and former teammate Shaquille O'Neal broke down talking about losing his friend.
Haven't felt the pain that sharp in a while. Lost two grandmothers, lost a Sarge, lost my sister, and now I lost a little brother.
Outside the Staples Center here, the memorial keeps growing. Take a look at all of the people here paying their respects as we wait for word about a possible public memorial service for all of the victims. And tonight we're learning more about that Lakers practice today. The team saying it was an integral part of their grieving process to come together. Nora?
All right, Chris. So many people want to be there. Thank you. Today, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol officials announced the discovery of a remarkably sophisticated tunnel used to smuggle drugs from Mexico to Southern California. It had rails, ventilation, even an elevator. Jeff Begay's reports. Today's news comes amid a sharp increase in drug seizures at the border.
The tunnel runs 3/4 of a mile and is the longest ever discovered by U.S. officials. It started in Mexico and ran under this part of the newly fortified border into the U.S.
We've seen an increase in drug seizures.
Deputy Chief Aaron Heike says smugglers move everything through the tunnels.
It's going to be people. It's going to be narcotics, the potential for weapons and ammunition.
10 miles away is another key smuggling route for Mexican drug cartels. Bordering Tijuana, San Ysidro, California is the busiest port of entry into North America.
In those buildings on the Mexican side,
Our sources tell us that sometimes the cartels use spotters to keep track of how the drugs are flowing from Mexico into the U.S.
Drug seizures at U.S. borders are way up over the past 5 years. Cocaine seizures have doubled. Meth seizures are up nearly 170% in that same time, and fentanyl seizures are up a staggering 3,500%. Behind these gates are seized vehicles that have been tricked out to hide drugs in secret compartments.
So officers are looking through the vehicle.
Pete Flores is in charge of 6 southern border crossings.
Seen compartments anywhere we can think of, in floors, in dashes, in gas tanks, in the tires that they're running.
So the smugglers will try anything.
They will.
Also putting pressure on Border Patrol agents out here, the apprehensions of more than 850,000 migrants along the southern border last year. That is a 12-year high. Nora.
They are working hard indeed. Jeff, thank you. The government today sounded the alarm about what it calls the most reported scam in America, Social Security fraud. There's been 115,000 complaints in the last 3 months alone. And as Anna Warner reports, the thieves are sophisticated and scary.
I was very afraid.
Michelle and Kyle Anderson say the elaborate scam began with a phone call like this one.
Your social has been found some suspicious for committing fraudulent activities.
When she called back, they said,
there has been some fraud on your account, and we feel like you're suspect in a crime.
A man told her her Social Security number had been used by a drug cartel to set up multiple fraudulent bank accounts.
That these people were very dangerous, that they were watching me, that I needed to do what I was told.
And not tell anybody, right?
And not tell anyone.
To protect the family's assets, he said she needed to wire all the money in the couple's bank accounts to an offshore account. So she did.
I drove to the credit union, and I transferred all of our money into our checking.
The couple lost $150,000.
Money we had worked our entire lives to save.
Anderson testified at the Senate hearing today in Washington about the scam that has cost America's seniors $38 billion.
Americans trust our agency and our employees, and we cannot allow swindlers to erode that trust.
Now, Kyle Anderson wants to warn others.
Maybe this happened for a purpose. Maybe it happened to us so that we could help others.
Anna Werner, CBS News, New York.
3rd time in 2 weeks, the Pentagon has raised the number of American service members listed as injured in Iran's recent missile attack on a base in Iraq. The military now says 50 troops sustained traumatic brain injuries. That is 16 more than previously acknowledged. In all, 32 troops have been treated and returned to duty. Now to a big catch on thin ice. More than 500 fishermen got stranded below in Siberia after it broke off from an island and began floating away. Some men used broken ice as rafts to get back to shore. Most waited nearly 7 hours to be rescued. One more reason I'm not going to Siberia. In northern Illinois today, hundreds turned out for a final salute to a man they did not know. Vietnam War veteran John James Murphy died with no known family members to bury him. He had been living in a nursing home. Well, a funeral director organized today's memorial, and saluting many veterans came from all across the country. Murphy, a former Air Force sergeant, was laid to rest with full military honors. So there's a restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky, where the special every day is redemption. Adriana Diaz takes us there.
How y'all doing today?
At Barry's Cheesesteaks, Barry Washington, the owner and a pastor, greets everyone. But it's the helping hand he extends to his employees that's his real mission. Many have done jail time.
We got to quit looking at everybody as a problem, and we got to look at a solution.
You're a pastor. You usually preach at church.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you've brought church.
Brought church through the cheesesteak.
These are his latest converts, teenage brothers Sean, Rodney, and DJ, who he first encountered when they were throwing bottles at cars from a nearby balcony.
I felt I had enough, and so I just used that method, throwing the hands up, trying to tell them, listen, I just want to talk to you when you come down.
You guys thought you were in trouble.
Yeah, I thought you were calling police on us.
He gave us a long, long, long speech.
He told them he was no saint either. Years ago, he dealt drugs and was homeless until prayer and a stranger's kindness changed his life. He never did end up calling the cops. Instead,
I said, I want to give you a chance, teach you how to cook, give you a job. Let them fries get good and done, though.
Now, most of the boys' free time is spent here, under Washington's mentorship.
I just feel like he gave us a better choice to make money, because some people are selling drugs, stuff like that. I guess he don't want to see us take the same route he took.
Mission accomplished. Adriana Diaz, CBS News, Louisville, Kentucky.
Instead of sending them to jail, he gave them a job. Kudos. On tomorrow's CBS Evening News, the guests who wouldn't leave, how San Francisco learned to love and celebrate them. And if you can't watch live, don't forget to set your DVR so you can watch us later. And that is tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell in Washington. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Good night.
If you like the CBS Evening News, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.